Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are so thankful and blessed that you have chosen to worship our risen and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us this morning. Before we begin this time of worship, we have a couple brief announcements. Just as a reminder, those of you who have expressed an interest in joining and being a member here at Trinity, we will be meeting for the first time this evening at 6:30, and so we will just gather right in the fellowship hall. Also, if you are a member of the staff parish committee, please make note that we will have a brief meeting immediately following next week's service on the 26th. And a couple other announcements: immediately following today's service, there will be a vacation Bible school meeting, and that will be meeting in the fellowship hall. And this is for anyone wanting to help this year. So please, don't be afraid to come out. We are looking forward to a wonderful year of sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, with the children of this community. And so we would just love to have you be a part of that. Also, next Sunday, April the 26th at 1:30, there will be a gathering at Tri-County Lanes in Woodville for a bowling excursion. And for more information, you can see Extravaganza. All right.
Is that with two G's? Is that with two G's?
For further information, you can talk with Jerry about that, and he can give you more info on that. And one last announcement: every Wednesday now until Vacation Bible School, which is the third week in June, June 15th through the 19th, we will be gathering in the Fellowship Hall to make the decorations for this year's VBS. And we would like all those who have the abilities to cut, to paste, to draw, to color, come on out and join us and be a part of that wonderful time of fellowship and fun and just looking forward to God impacting the children with his words of truth this year. Let us bow our heads and our hearts in preparation for worshiping of our Lord and coming King, Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your truth, and we thank you for your peace. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for the wonderful opportunity and the privilege and the honor that you have blessed us with to worship you today. For this is the day that you have made. May we bless you, may we honor you, may we exalt you, and may we uplift your holy name this morning. May we not hold anything back, but may we just worship you with our entire being. We love you, O Christ. We commit this time into your care in the wonderful name of our risen Savior, Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today, amen. As we stand and get ready to praise the Lord, let's get ready to give him some good praise today. Turn to your neighbors, say, I will trust in the Lord. As we bow our heads, we come before you, Lord, Lord, Father in heaven. Thank you for being in our lives. Allow us to have that complete faith so anywhere that you go, we will follow you. For you are our shepherd. You lead us. You'll not leave us alone, but you'll be there for us. No matter what we walk through, even the valley, Lord, even the good times, you're there with us, Lord. Allow us to remember that. Allow us to resonate that into our souls and believe and just completely trust in you every single day for every single circumstance. For where you go, Lord, I will surely follow. Lord, we thank you and we ask a special blessing over this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, God is so good. I know that when I'm in the valley, that he's going to be there. He's going to be there to pick me up and guide me to where I need to be. And I know that if I give him everything, absolutely everything, and not hold on to any of it, he will take it and make it good. No matter how bad things get, he will make it good. And that is so awesome to know that God is there to catch you when you fall and that he will take your hand and lead you where you need to go.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, and I am worn. Through the storm, belong to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me home, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, and I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home, lead me home.
As we bow our heads, precious Lord, please take our hands. Lead us home, because there's so many times that we try to do things on our own, and unfortunately we fail. And sometimes we beat ourselves up for that. Instead, you want us to realize that we cannot do it by ourselves. We need you, and we need to learn to trust in you and allow you to take our hand. For you do hold our right hand, as your word says. Allow us to trust in that as we walk through our lives, never to doubt it, never to fear, and no more worry, Lord, as we lay everything to you, no more worry. Father, we give you everything in your precious name. We ask that you show up here today, that the message is received, and have a blessing over each and every one of us that are here, and those that could not be here, and those that are sick or hurt that need you, and those that just need you today to have that touch so they can go through their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
This is a reading from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were the thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep knows me.
Financial peace. We all want it. For a while, I didn't have it. 20 years ago, I hit rock bottom. I lost just about everything. I turned to God for help, and I learned how to handle money His way. As you can imagine, it worked. That's why I started Financial Peace University. Because God's ways work. Whether you're in over your head or you're doing okay right now, if you bring home $10,000 or $10 million, if you're 21 or 61, we all need a plan. Millions of people have been through Financial Peace University. They have success stories of their own. They've learned how to get rid of debt, prepare for generations to come, and give like crazy. Your success story, your financial peace, is up to you. Now is your time. It's time to take control of your money. It's time to get ready for what God has for you. It's time for financial peace.
This Thursday, we will begin Financial Peace on the 23rd of April. Inside your bulletin, you'll see a bulletin insert. I'm going to ask Daniel and Heather Crawford to come forward, and they're going to share a testimony of how Financial Peace impacted them. And so this gives you the class info and what will be covered each time, and it gives you more info. You can also see Daniel for more further information, and then Gina Florio, they will be coordinating a class. And one of the reasons why we're doing Financial Peace, we've done it here before, is so that not only can people experience the freedom that Christ has for them, but then they can be a blessing to others. Many of you probably already saw the clipboards go through, and that is for Tables of Plenty, and that's one way that we at Trinity Church here, Trinity United Methodist Church, bless the community. Twice a year and six times a year, we have a roll at St. Mike's, April and October. It is our role to serve the complete meal. And so as the clipboards went by, I pray and I hope as God led, you signed up, you know, to be a part of that ministry. And friends, if we're in bondage, if we are in financial, you know, dire straits, we can't be a blessing to others. But I'm going to turn it over to Daniel and Heather, and why don't you guys share how Financial Peace blessed you and your family.
Okay, well, I was thinking about this morning and about how I could go on about how great things are going through FPU and how all the many blessings in my life, but I kind of wanted to talk about the relationship aspect of what Heather and I got out of FPU, and one of the things that I was reading this morning was Proverbs 31, and I'll just go ahead and read the first couple verses there. A wife of noble character who can find she is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. And so I read that this morning, and I was thinking about coming up here and giving testimony, and it was just really put upon me to talk about the pride aspect. Before I took FPU, I had a lot of pride in, I know how to handle my finances. I know what's best for my family. And the truth is they're not my finances, they're God's. And I'm just managing them for him. So that's what was really on my mind this morning, and I just want to share with you guys about how God has really put a lot of humility in me and taken the pride right out of me through taking this class. And, you know, where we do God's work with very little, he grants us more to manage. And that's what I've experienced in the last, I don't know, we've probably been living the principles of FPU for, what, 10 years? 7, 8 years? So that's what I've experienced, and it's all about the relationship, and Heather and I have had great success with that. Once we took away my pride and we started communicating, we started talking about our dreams together and not just individuals. So I don't know if you...
Sure. Yeah, I kept asking Daniel what do I say, because we've been doing this for a while, and I can't imagine living any other way than how we've pretty much our whole married life. So, but it wasn't easy starting, because usually the wife is like all in, and she's dragging the husband. because they handle things the way that they want to handle them. And the, you know, it's got to be your heart that changes, and the only person who can do that is God. So I don't think it's an issue of praying, should I take this class? What should I do? I mean, we are the variable. God is constant. He says to do things a certain way, and I think praying for him to soften our hearts and yield to it is the best way. So
what I would say is, for, I mean, there's probably quite a few women in here, and even as you talk to your kids and parents, etc., as you talk to other people you know, maybe the wife's on board and the husband is not on the board because they have a lot of pride and they think, oh, this is just a get-rich scheme, or, you know, this is, I know how to manage my finances. It's a lot of pride. So for guys, I would tell the guys in the room, you know, just let's set that aside and do something for our spouse. Let's do something for our wives. Set that aside and come to the class. So.
Amen. Thank you both. And I would just, you know, tag on to that, and I would say, you know, just what Daniel and Heather said, you know, let God lead you. Let God lead you in the area of finances. Let the living Lord lead you to that financial peace. And it doesn't matter what state you're in. I know that I've experienced a lot in my life. I've experienced collections, the IRS, and all kinds of different things. And I can attest that after going through this class, God's ways work. And what a blessing. What a total blessing. So I would encourage anyone, you know, if you're struggling with the membership fee, you know, see me, see Daniel, see Gina, and, you know, we can, you know, work something out. But this is important. It's vitally important. That's how much that I believe in it. And I know Daniel and Heather and Gina and John and all of those of us who have completed the course believe in that as well. So as we continue this time of worship, if the ushers would please come. Gina. Okay, I'll repeat it in a minute.
If anybody has any struggles or issues with signing up, they're not computer savvy or whatever. Bring a computer. Yeah. Name brought his computer.
Okay.
And you can see either one of us for signing up. So that
right.
Not everyone knows how to do that.
Right,
so
okay.
That's out there as well.
Okay.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, if you didn't sign up before Thursday, I think they can still come and sign
yes.
up.
Right, right. Yeah, there is no, if God's leading you, and so if you need help to sign up online, you can see Gina or Daniel today. And then as you're praying about it, we're going to talk about this one more time next Sunday. And although the first class is on Thursday, if God leads you, this gives you a lifetime membership. And you can pick up that first class at any other course. You can go right on Financial Peace University and online, and you can look and you can see the courses of where they're at, and you can go to any class. And in the future, if you need to brush up on any topic, subject, you know, that is there for you as well. So, but keep those things in mind. If the ushers would please come, may we all give back a portion of what God has blessed us with. Amen. You may be seated. It is said that Cyrus, the founder of the Persian Empire, once had captured a prince and his family. When they came before him, the monarch asked the prisoner, "What will you give me if I release you?" "The half of my wealth," was his reply. "And if I release your children, everything I possess. And if I release your wife, your majesty, I will give myself." Cyrus was so moved by his devotion that he freed them all. As they returned home, the prince said to his wife, "Wasn't Cyrus a handsome man?" With a look of deep love for her husband, she said to him, "I didn't notice. I could only keep my eyes on you, the one who was willing to give himself for me." We've been working through this series, which we have been calling Pictures of Salvation, and my hope is that like the prince's wife, our eyes are being set upon the one, Jesus, who did give his life for you and for me. On this journey, we have been looking at each of the seven I am statements which Jesus proclaimed about himself. Now, each of these statements are found in the Gospel of John, which is the fourth book of the New Testament. And John's purpose for writing this gospel can be seen in the 31st verse of the 20th chapter when he states, "But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." His entire purpose was for others to read what was written so they may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and when they believe, they may have life in Jesus' name. Friends, this is our purpose here at Trinity 2. We yearn to share the love of Jesus and the love God has for each of you, and to allow that love that God lavishes upon all of us to bring you into his kingdom. And if you're here this morning and already are a believer and follower of Jesus, then our hope here at Trinity and our desire for you is that your faith would be strengthened and your belief would be encouraged as you chase after the Lord Jesus each day. This is exactly what John wanted for those who read his gospel as well. And he yearned for others to come to belief in Christ and for those who already believed to be encouraged in their journey of faith. Part of John's audience, who he was writing to, would have been Jewish. So the significance of the miracles Jesus completed and even what Jesus taught would not have been lost. And friends, this definitely includes the seven I am statements that Jesus proclaimed about himself. The original hearers of the Gospel of John would have remembered the account of Moses and the burning bush. And this was when Moses was in the desert and God began speaking to him from the burning bush. Once God commissioned Moses to go and lead the Jewish people from the bondage of Egyptian rule, Moses questioned the Lord on who he should say sent him. And God said, "Moses, tell them, I am sent you." Now, the significance of these two words put together is huge, and God did not say he is today, but yesterday he wasn't. He was not saying he will be tomorrow, but today he is not. God was saying he is outside of being created, and he is outside of any force of creation. Friends, God was saying he is outside of being created, and he is outside of any force of creation. God was saying that he is self-existent without any outside forces bringing him into being. God always was, and he always will be, and there is not anything in this world or the entire cosmos which can change that. And now comes Jesus, who begins to utter these same two words. He begins to state through his teachings time and time again the same two words which were spoken to Moses, and listen to the proclamations of Jesus. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door of the sheep. I am the true vine. I am the good shepherd." Each of these statements, friends, spoke a message in and of themselves, and they spoke of the nature of who Jesus is and who he wants to and who he was. Namely, Jesus is God, and they spoke of the type of character God possesses. I want you and me to understand that this is speaking not only to Jesus being God, but it also speaks to what kind of God we worship. Don't miss that. We could pause and look at each of these proclamations and see what I'm talking about. The first one, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Jesus said, "God is the bread of life." Jesus said, "He is God." Jesus said, "God wants to meet your unquenched hunger of your soul." Jesus said, "God, he is the only source for true contentment of your being, and you are hungering and thirsting for something. My friends, come and meet Jesus." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus said, "God is the light of the world." Jesus said, "He is God." Jesus said, "God wants to provide you and me light along the path of your journey of life." Jesus said, "God, he is the only source to provide you the illumination of the path we are to follow. You want to know which way you should travel in life? Then friends, come and meet Jesus." We could do the same thing with all seven proclamations. And this morning we have before us the statement Jesus made in the 10th chapter of John, verse 11. Listen to verses 11 through 14 once again. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Let us not forget this morning what Chrysostom said when speaking of this passage. He said, when Jesus brings us to the Father, he calls himself a door. And when he takes care of us, he calls himself a shepherd. Last week we looked at Jesus bringing us to God, and Jesus called himself the door or the gate. And this week we look at Jesus being the good shepherd who wants to care for his sheep, for you and for me. Jesus called himself the good shepherd, not just a shepherd. There is a difference, friends. The word good means much, and now this word good was not speaking of something being mostly good, but it spoke to the character of who God is. Jesus was saying he is good, and friends, this is part of Jesus' character. It's part of God's character, that God is a good God. In the original text, the word we translate as good, it does not simply mean to be good, but it means more of being genuine or being true. And so we could say Jesus was calling himself the genuine shepherd or the true shepherd. And this fits with the text surrounding these verses when Jesus speaks of false shepherds and hirelings. And friends, we need to grasp that Jesus is the genuine, the true shepherd. And there is none like him. He and he alone is good. There is no other good God but Jesus. Jesus is the genuine. Jesus is the true shepherd. Goodness truly is part of the character that Jesus possesses. Now, when I was studying for this week and pondering what it meant to be a good, genuine, and true shepherd, I was drawn to the 23rd Psalm. I realize that we often read this psalm during times of loss and tragedy, but friends, this psalm is so much more. It is for the living and not for the dead. It is for those on the journey of life, and it speaks of how Jesus, how God wants to shepherd you and me each day. Listen to the words of the 23rd Psalm, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, a great exercise to complete in your own time, when we look at the seven I am statements spoken by Jesus, is to compare all seven of the statements with the six verses of Psalm 23. I think you'll find they match up very well, and it could look like something like this. I am the bread of life, and in verse 1, I shall not want. I'm the light of the world, and in verse 2, he leads me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and in verse 3, he leads me. I am the resurrection and the life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. I am the door of the sheep. Thou preparest a table for me. I am the true vine. God comforts me. And lastly, I am the good shepherd. And we could include the entire 23rd Psalm. So what are we to take from this, all of this today? I want us to acknowledge the genuine, the true, and the good shepherd, Jesus. But more than that, I want us to see the message of care and concern and deep love the genuine shepherd has for you and for me. Some years ago, I read a book and found myself going back to it again for this week. And the title of the book is called Traveling Light, written by Max Licato. I commend it to you all to get that book. It's a very easy read. It's a quick read, but it has some very deep and profound truths. Each of us struggling through life with different elements that come to us almost unforeseen. We struggle with worries and broken relationships, offenses, and the unknown of the future. We wrestle with our enemies, seemingly always winning and getting ahead. We strive to grasp at the brokenness of the world and the hurts and the pain we see each and every day. Friends, these are all elements you and I were never meant to carry, and I implore you this day to put those down. This is what I want you and me to take away from this message this morning. I want you and us to see how the genuine shepherd yearns for all of us to stop carrying the stuff life places on our shoulders and to allow Jesus to bring us freedom, peace, and contentment. This is what I want for you today. I want you to experience the contentment of the still waters. And friends, this is the imagery which Jesus wants you and me to grasp. He wants you and me to know this is where He, Jesus, wants you and me to live. Now, the enemy to the serenity of the soul and contentment of our being is worry and anxiety. When I was in the insurance industry, time and time again, the biggest thing people were being treated for was anxiety or worry. Now be sure there is a time and a place for being medicated and medication. I'm not standing here saying that is never the case, but I have to wonder how many people could be off their medications if they allowed the genuine shepherd to bear the burden of their worry. Let me explain. Twice in six verses, we see the phrase, "He leads me." Now be sure of this, that in six verses, if something is mentioned two times, it's probably important. It's almost as if the psalmist doesn't want you and me to miss it. Now friends, worry and anxiety happen when you and I, we take the lead. And this is where Jesus wants you and me to get it right. God wants you to be led by Him. He wants me to be led by Him. Now, we don't have to listen to His leading, and we can and often do things in our own way. We often do things in our own strength. But God, who is Jesus, is never behind you and me, prodding us on as if we were a part of a cattle with a goad. No, friends, He is out front of you and me, bidding us to come, bidding us to follow, bidding us to let Him take the respective role of leading us. Friends, this is the role of genuine shepherd. You see, in Jesus' day, shepherds did not drive the sheep. They led the sheep. God wants to lead you and me today. He wants to lead you and me to a place of contentment, a place of serenity of our soul. He wants you and me to allow Him to lead us this day and every day that follows. I know what some of you are thinking. You're sitting here thinking, what about those times when life gets in the way? No, friends, life never gets in the way. We get in God's way. We don't allow Him to lead us. We take over. We choose to walk away from His leading. You may be thinking, what about the times when elements from this life assail us? And we have no control over a job loss, the death of a loved one, the car breaking down, and the list can go on and on. Yes, friends, things will hit us hard from time to time. But even when the storms of life rage on and against us, we can allow the genuine shepherd to lead us to tranquility of our soul. I wonder if you heard that. Even when the storms of life rage on, we can allow the genuine shepherd to lead us to a place of tranquility of our soul. And so how, you ask? We allow Him, who is Jesus, to lead us by meeting today with today's strength. And I wish that you would soak that in. I can't tell you the times that I speak with people and they look at me and they say, how do I not go down the road of worry? How do I not think about what's going to happen tomorrow? And friends, every single time I tell them, look up Philippians 4, verses 8 and stop at the first one. Finally, brethren, whatever is true. And then look at the last of the list. Think on these things. And friends, meeting today's struggles with today's strength is only thinking on what is true. It is not thinking about the what ifs or the how will this take place. It's thinking upon the what today's needs are. And so we allow Him who is Jesus to lead us by meeting today with today's strength. All through the scriptures, God is providentially good, and He will give you what you and I need for today. He will give you the strength that you need to meet what needs are needing to be met. He will give you the guidance that you need to deal with what you have to deal with. He will give you the wisdom if you and I ask, if you and I would only allow Him to be the genuine, the true, and the good shepherd of our lives. And friends, He will then lead us beside the still waters. He will then lead us in paths of righteousness. He will then lead us to where He wants us to live. And yes, life will continue to rage on out of our control. And life will be continuing to assail us and trying to us. But friends, we have a Savior. We have a Shepherd who stilled the storm. We have the One, Jesus Christ, who can still your heart and my heart in times of uncertainty. And so my challenge to all of us is that we allow the genuine shepherd to lead us to a place of serenity of our soul. And when we do that, we will stop wasting our strength on tomorrow's problems. Live in today, friends. Live in what God through Jesus gives you and me. Allow Jesus to lead you and me. But do more than just allow Christ to lead you. Stop carrying the burdens of tomorrow. Put those down. Give them up. I invite you this morning to come and meet with the Lord Jesus today. Confess your carrying of the burden of the unknown. Ask Jesus to lead you this day. And don't stop in today. But when tomorrow gets here, ask the Lord Jesus to lead you tomorrow as well. Now, you don't need to come forward to do this. You can simply do this in your pew when we pray here in the next couple moments. But for your sake and those around you, when you drop the burden of tomorrow and live out of the strength Jesus has for you today, you will experience the blessing that God wants you to experience. Allow the One who is Jesus, who calmed the storm, to calm your soul. Let life rage, but set your eyes upon the One who not was willing, but the One who did give His life for you, Jesus Christ, the living Savior. And friends, experience the still waters, the paths of righteousness, and soak in the tranquility of your soul. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, merciful Lord, You know what this life holds. It holds pain and it holds heartache. It holds struggles and difficulties. It holds things that we were never meant to deal with. For this was not Your original plan. It was not how You envisioned things to be. You envisioned us walking in the cool of the day. Father, we thank You that You did not leave us orphaned. You did not leave us all alone, but that You sent Your Son, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our coming King, so that He could teach us, so that He could relate to us, so that He would know what things we have to deal with. But Father, we thank You for Jesus' leading, for His heart, for being the genuine, the good, and the true shepherd who cares for His flock. He yearns to take care of all of us. And Father God, we confess that we have been living out of our own strength. We confess that we have been walking away from You. We confess that we have not been allowing You to lead us. And Jesus, we confess that we yearn for the tranquility of our soul. We yearn for the still waters of peace in our very being. Oh, gracious God, we just confess these times and these things before you now. And we place down the burdens of worry and the burdens of anxiety. We place them at your feet. And oh, Father, we thank you for not treating us any other way but with love and grace and peace. We thank you, O Lord, for receiving us. And so meet with us as we silently and quietly pray, confessing those times when we failed to allow you to lead us to contentment, to serenity, and tranquility. Oh, gracious God, we know that you are being a good God and you only want what is best for us. We praise you for that. We thank you for your forgiveness, and we allow you to lead us, to guide us, and give us the courage to give up the leadership role of our lives. Give us the strength to meet what challenges face us this day, and give us the discipline as we meet with you in the morning tomorrow to say, Lord, lead us this day. For it is only you who knows the true wisdom and possesses the guidance for our lives that we need. So, oh gracious God, we bless you now. We thank you and we praise you. In the wonderful name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Before we close here this morning, we're going to sing that again. And friends, life does rage on. And I know I've been in the times of life where I've cried out to God and said, hey, I need you. I can't deal with whatever it is that I'm dealing with. I can't handle whatever I'm facing. And friends, I hope the message is clear. That God stands ready and waiting, ready to receive you and ready to receive me and ready to shepherd us, to lead us, to guide us into those paths of righteousness. And so let's sing again. If you need to sit, please feel free to sit. But let us just focus on the words and the message of the genuine shepherd that he has for you and me today.
Everybody's got a wound to be healed. I want to believe there's beauty here. 'Cause oh, I get so tired of holding on. I can't let go, I can't move on. I want to believe there's meaning here. How many times have you heard me cry out, God, please take this? How many times have you given me strength to just keep breathing? Oh,
Genuine shepherd, the true shepherd, may he still your soul, and may he find you courageous enough and be faithful enough to allow him to lead, and may he truly lead you to the areas of still waters and contentment of your soul and tranquility of your being, and may the God of all peace, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, bless you and keep you. Amen.